D-Mace Vinken and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vinken, joined by Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. I understand that Hutton is at Radio Row, the site of the big game, because we're not, for some reason, allowed to say what the actual game is. I don't get it. But Hutton, I hope that you're full of football and shrimp etouffee and po' boys and beignets and all of the delicious things that New Orleans has to offer.
So far, so good, guys. Yeah, here at Radio Row, which is more like Streaming Row now, because everyone is streaming in some way, shape, or form. Yeah, it's been a good first day for me. I know Stillman's been doing great work earlier this week, and then we'll continue. I saw him with some cool people over at the table. So hope you guys are doing well in Nashville.
We're doing the best we can. So let's talk about the other team in the Super Bowl. Am I allowed to say Super Bowl? Let's talk about the other team in the big game, the Philadelphia Eagles, because there is so much attention, of course, on the Kansas City Chiefs. We were talking about Jalen Hurts yesterday. Now, Jalen Hurts is one of, I believe it was, 8 quarterbacks in NFL history to have 2 Super Bowl starts within his first 5 seasons in the league. I think we could all agree. We don't talk about Jalen Hurts in the quote-unquote elite category. We're not going to put him in the category with Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. But I feel like he's not that far behind. What do you think a win for the Eagles in this Super Bowl, not just the fact that they are going to win the Super Bowl, but the fact that they could knock off the budding dynasty of the Chiefs, what would that do for Jalen Hurts and his perception around the NFL?
I mean, think about the significance of Jalen Hurts 1, Joe Burrow 0. You know, like if you're just talking about Super Bowl wins, like that. Same thing for with Josh Allen. So you know, his contemporaries take a, I won't say a back seat, because they're going to continue to be in the MVP conversation. But you know, it's let's throw Nick Sirianni in the mix too, if we're going to discuss Hurts too. I mean, this is his second. It's it doesn't get enough attention, and you know that he's done a nice job. I think he does a better job leading than what he gets credit for. I think the whole AJ Brown thing with him is maybe the perception there is a bit skewed because of his friendship with AJ, and then how things have been weird. But they've been able to keep it together, and that's after last year's collapse at the end. So yeah, I think he's going to look. I'm interested to see if he is if the Chiefs end up stopping in any part of the game, stopping Saquon Barkley, which is probably not going to happen. He's going to get his. But if the Chiefs find a solution to the tush push just one or two times, how does that affect Jalen Hurts needing to step up and make a play on third down? And needing to set a play in a crucial moment, that's where he will really be defined in this game. And if they have a chance to really take down Mahomes in what Mahomes and Kansas City does so well, which is close out games, can Hurts do that? If he does, he's moving on to you know a chance to do what not many few quarterbacks do, Adam, and that's win multiple Super Bowls. And it's not a team and a quarterback coach combo that we think of in that regard.
Did you hear DeAndre Hopkins' quote from Super Bowl opening night about the end of his Titans tenure? Okay. We talked about this at length yesterday. I heard Jared talk about it. Jared, doing what Jared typically does, said it was a culture problem with the Titans, that DeAndre Hopkins pouted and took himself out of the game, and the Titans acquiesced to his every desire by trading him to the Chiefs. When you heard those comments, what was your first gut reaction about what they meant, not just for Hopkins, but for the Titans as well?
Well, I thought this happened in the Buffalo game at the beginning of the fourth quarter. And that, okay, here's where I thought about Keith Bullock is what I thought about. Keith Bullock refused to come out of the game in a 59-0 beatdown in New England. And if nothing else, he started the game, he's going to finish it. That was his mentality. D-Hop is one of the more consistent players, and for whatever reason, they weren't throwing him the football. I don't get that part. But he knew he was being traded. And the headlines the to follow up in the locker room and throughout the next week or so before the trade deadline was. So I guess he's on the trading block now because you got to keep him healthy. I mean, everyone's discussion of that was correct. But, you know, they played the behind-the-scenes game of, oh, no, nothing's wrong. I mean, even Callahan was kind of confused by it with the way he reacted in real time in postgame. I mean, that so in terms of culture and communication and all that, that's – I mean, I think that moment is in, you know, in some small portion of the season – A good example of kind of how just crazy and like everything just kind of thrown in the mix it was, and not knowing how to handle that in the moment. And look, is it the end of the world? No, they did him a favor by trading him to Kansas City for the type of return, especially when you look at what you know we saw from other trades of wide receivers that were basically the same. And we're talking about DeAndre Hopkins here, who I bet makes a play on Sunday and helps the Chiefs three-peat.
excuse me. Hutt,
hey, by the way, Mace, I don't think I'm not saying that Hopkins is a diva for doing this. Mm-hmm. Stay healthy, go play for a contender. I get it. But man, I mean, how much did we discuss? There's not many like true leaders on that team.
No,
And that was a moment where you can at least just finish the game.
Yeah, and I think that's the issue that I have with the situation. Listen, I've said this before. You don't know how you're reacting in situation until you're put in that situation. D-Hop had never been in a situation that he was in this year with the Tennessee Titans. He was always the guy that was replacing the guy, Andre Johnson and then Larry Fitzgerald. So he was always that guy. He was never in a position where they brought somebody else in to replace him, and he was there real time with them. And he didn't know how to sort of handle it, especially with them losing as well. Him sitting on the sideline, that I didn't agree with. But I understood sort of, you know, what he was going through because I went through it myself. You know, them drafting a young guy and knowing eventually that they want him to be the guy or bringing in a free agent, knowing eventually they want that guy to be the number one guy. You got to figure out how to handle it. And especially when your team's winning. In his case, his team wasn't winning. So that sort of magnified what he was doing because I knew behind once they showed the picture of him behind Brian Callahan, I said one of two things are happening right now. Either he's taking himself out of the game or the Titans have removed him from the game because they're going to trade him. And I guess I was right on both, you know, because he did take himself out of the game and the Titans did trade him.
Do you know the score going into the fourth quarter of that game?
I can't even remember.
17-10.
It was a close game.
Yeah. Now, I mean, he wasn't getting the football. And they scored 17 points, the Bills did, in the fourth quarter. Point being, like, I wouldn't have done what he did.
Let's just say that. I wouldn't have did that. I understand how he felt. I get that.
Yeah.
But if
and you know what else is different, Mace? He's also not used to not getting the football.
Exactly. But he sat there and said he's not a volume like a football guy, when in fact his career is based on volume catches.
Yeah. And let me also throw this in. This was during the stretch where they chose to go with Mason Rudolph during this difficult stretch of Buffalo and Detroit. And who knows what was going through his mind in that regard, because, you know, his guy was Levis going back to the season prior. He got a lot of looks through Will Levis, and that certainly wasn't the case during that stretch at all.
Now, what has been the talk there of the Tennessee Titans, if there is any? And I'm not talking about aside from DeAndre Hopkins, what he said. But as far as, you know, them hiring a new GM, what they think about it, you know, the number one pick and everything else.
Well, number one, speaking of number one, it's I've yet to find someone – in person that would say, I'll draft Shadur or I'll draft Cam Ward. And just chatting. Everyone is, you know, trading down in this draft. Even, you know, Thomas Dimitroff, who is known for being aggressive whenever he's the general manager of the Falcons, even he said he would trade down in this draft. So if everyone's looking to trade down, maybe you go with just the best player on your board here with the Titans. Again, I would love to trade down if I'm Tennessee. I don't know if the return is going to be as great as what we may think because of the number one pick. Nonetheless, the other talk, Mace, I chatted with Jeffrey Simmons today. He is still irritated and, like, pissed off, I guess is the best way, about any questions in regards to last season. just immediately, no, I'm last season's over. I'm done with it. You know, that very quick. Mm-hmm. We know he was tight with Rand. He was also tight with J-Rob. And he's been through a lot of change recently. But he's also very close with Amy Adams Strunk. And I asked him, I said, if you're not going to discuss 2024, let's discuss the future, 2025. You know, what do you see? And he discussed leadership. He discussed culture. He's hitting all the key words, but, you know, he's going to have to be the guy. I mean, if you start to look around and think about the true emotional and lead by example guys, I mean, he's the dude, that can really get it going. Like one of the true good players on the team. And I think he's looking at it from the lens of, okay, let's get the best players and let's continue to build, because right now he's seen a lot of change recently and not a lot of wins, and he is not happy about it, which is a good and a bad thing, because again, he's a part of it with the penalties, which he also touched on and said it was on him.
We're talking to Jonathan Hutton. Hutt, I'm curious, in your circles, first impressions of Mike Borgonzi. I know he hasn't been there very long, but what's the early sense of his presence, how he's going to go about things?
Confident, prepared is another word I would use. So, like, he was able to – I know he's more pro-personnel side of things for the most part. He's done everything. But Veach, from what I was told, Willie, like, let him more or less over the shoulder kind of see everything in the inner workings of the day-to-day operations of what he did as GM in Kansas City over the last 12 to 15 months, which is great for him. And, you know, I think the other sense I get is everyone figured it was his time. You know, when you're 16 years at a spot and that's, you know, you start to see how people climb the ladder. And then you see the ladder that he was able to climb with the Kansas City Chiefs and how they built their roster. The key contributors, it fits the mold of exactly what the Titans are saying. It's just not what the Titans have been doing, you know, draft, develop, retain. That's what Kansas City does so well, better than anyone. And they don't necessarily have to do it in the first, second, or third rounds. They get great value there, and they select great players there. But go look at some of the sixth and seventh round picks that have just been role players, but huge assets in key moments of critical playoff matchups. They're playing so many tight window ball games right now, and they have people that just step in and execute. They don't turn it over. They are poised, and they close out games. And that's the opposite of the Tennessee Titans. Now they've got the guy who has been there to see how that was built, to try to replicate what it is that the Titans need most. It's a similar situation to it's not exact, but I mean, John Robinson was known for the Patriot way, and he was brought in to revamp what was a franchise without much to point to, and he was able to do it with those first 3 years. So, I mean, I think it's also a comparison that's worthy of mentioning there, because I think Borgonzi, or with those that know him and know what the discussion was within the Kansas City organization, feel like he's also at that point where he's ready for the opportunity, much like J-Rob was coming from Tampa.
With their cap situation, coming off of a year where they did dip in heavily to the free agent market, they've been pretty clear that they don't want to do that again. They want to draft and develop. But in the meantime, what do you have any sense of whether all of those guys are going to be back this year, or do you feel like they might, in a Mike Borgonzi, okay, let me erase. This didn't work, or this isn't a guy I would have signed. Do you think you might see a change or two based on that to either create a little bit more cap space or go in a different direction in free agency?
Yeah, I mean, in thinking about the money spent last year, Willie, I mean, there's a lot of money that's already accounted for right now that you wouldn't dump on. Like, you know,
right. I guess that's where I'm going. It's like you want flexibility if you're a new GM, right? And if you're locked in,
no doubt,
to some guys, are there some moves you have to make accordingly?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm trying to think of like a Harold Landry, maybe. Is that what you're saying?
Well, he's not a guy that I thought about, but obviously Landry has a big. He's got a big chunk of the. He's got a big cap hit, right? There's no way around that.
Yeah, and so I mean, the base salary would just be in cash, but you've got the different bonus options coming up. Look, I mean, it's Ridley, it's Landry, L'Jarius Sneed's going to be up there, and Simmons. Like those are, Amani Hooker's got to be in the top seven or eight players too. A lot of players on defense is what I'm seeing. So, you know, if they're going to spend money, maybe they go at the right tackle situation and try to, or you know, left tackle and move someone to right. Again, I think you can spend money and address the offensive line. Do you want to move players? I do know this. They've discussed a lot about that mantra, right? Draft, develop, retain. They've also said they want draft picks. And there's not too many players that you can point to that are going to give you a return that's something that would live up to the expectation that they're discussing, right? So I think we named the players that could get some type of return on value draft time. And I think Landry and Hooker would be around the top of that just based on contract situation and what's coming forward for them. Willie, I think the money that they spent last year, it would take such a cap hit, right, with the cap number. I think Ridley's cap number is like 28. I mean, it's brutal. So you can't move that.
Yeah, I wouldn't think a big name like that. I was thinking like an Awuzie or a Murray or somebody that maybe they spent in Borgans. It's like, that's not my kind of guy. I think we
like
can do
Tony
better.
Like a Tony Pollard?
Well, I would be surprised because what's the alternative? So I guess we're looking at they're
Murray,
sort of locked into
to
some
think
of these
of the
guys.
Other guys.
Murray and Awuzie would be the two that I would circle as I'm curious what they might do there. There's a long list of guys they brought. But
well, the other one would be L'Jarius Sneed because, you know, he was, according to reports, he's the one who helped negotiate that trade with, you know, with Brinker.
Yeah. Now, that would be something. I think Sneed will be back next year for sure.
I agree.
Right?
You have to hope and pray that if you're them that he's healthy. He's a solution, not another injury issue. Yeah, I'm with you.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, live from Radio Row in New Orleans, where there's some sort of big game going on. Again, I'm not allowed to say it in this context. Hutton, have a great time in New Orleans. Enjoy the rest of Radio Row.
Yes, I'm already tired of all the officiating discussion here, but the NFL brought it on themselves here at the big game.
Thanks, Hutton. Talk soon.
Yeah, later, guys. Yep.
Jonathan Hutton joining us. Let's react to some of what Hutton had to say. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vinge, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.